This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, it's Mraza. Happy Tuesday to you. We take out the trash and recap the 49ers. Big win over the Rams on Monday Night Football. It's the best of the DA show. Now.
There are a few certainties in the NFL, only a few. And one of them is, in the regular season, the Niners always beat the Rams. Seven consecutive wins for San Francisco in this series of the regular season, although the most important matchup in last year's NFC Championship game, obviously, went to the Rams. But last night was more of the same, as the Niners had the playmakers, witness Deebo Samuel's catch and break after the catch for the touchdown, and a harassment of Matthew Stafford all night long. That Niners defense was filthy. San Francisco adds a pick six late, and the Niners go on to a 24-9 victory. The Niners had seven sacks on the night and hit Matthew Stafford 11 times. So the Rams fall to 2-2. The Niners climb to 2-2. And now everybody in the NFC West is 2-2. The Rams look anything but like a defending Super Bowl champ, especially last night. So what gives? What's going on with the Rams? What's wrong with the defending Super Bowl champs? It is where we begin, your cold open.
Aaron Donald lining up at three technique. Next, the outside shoulder of Aaron Banks and the Kivitz's side. Jimmy throws. It is caught by Deebo Samuel. Breaks a tackle. 40. Deebo 35-30. 25-20. Breaks another tackle. 15-10. 5. Touchdown! San Francisco!
Almost no Debo's going to have one or two of those in the game. You know, you don't want to bank on it, but you almost can. And, no, it wasn't so much about rhythm tonight. I thought, you know, honestly, I thought it was third down really put us in a good spot compared to last week. Just when you're successful like that, it allows the run game to get going and just allows you to open up the playbook a little more.
Stafford going to throw out right, intercepted and coming back the other way. Talanoa Hufanga, touchdown, San Francisco!
Each game's different, and that was a big one, obviously. Still counts the same, but anytime you win one in your division, and coming off how we were last week, we needed to play good, and I thought we did. Not perfect at all, but definitely played better.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, Mark Grundy.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That was 49ers radio on the call, obviously. You heard Kyle Shanahan there after the victory. There's a couple of things in play right now for the Los Angeles Rams. First and foremost, this is the most important part about the Rams so far. The offensive line is no good. Losing Whitworth to retirement has been a huge loss for them. And last night was jailbreak city on Matthew Stafford all night long. That is the single most important part of why the Rams are struggling. Their offensive line is no good. Absolutely porous last night against an excellent, excellent 49ers defense. But Stafford is also up there in age, and I think that He's not getting much time. And we know the elbow might be a little less than 100%. And I just think at this point in his career, Stafford's taken a lot of hits. And once he starts taking hits, he's not a guy that's going to certainly slip out of potential tackles, sacks, pressures, and make something happen. So that's an issue. Also, they can't keep defenders off of Stafford because they can't run the football effectively either. I mean, last night there was absolutely no run game for the 49ers, for the Rams rather. And I'll tell you, I think that's the big problem right now, Sean McVay's play calling. I don't know why he doesn't trust running the football. Maybe it's because of that offensive line, but I feel like he's so dependent on Cooper Kupp that McVay's offense is all about just get Cooper Kupp the football 15 times and hope something happens. Because last night, let me give you this stat. Talk about one-dimensional. The Rams hit Cooper Kupp 14 times for 122 yards. All other Rams receivers had 4 catches. I mean, so look, we all know that Cooper Kupp is great. We all know he's one of the most productive wide receivers in football, but they're completely one-dimensional. And this is where I think Sean McVay is a little overrated. McVay has won, and I don't take that away from him. He has won a Super Bowl. He's gone to another. Clearly, he's got a winning culture. He knows how to get W's. But I've never felt like there was any great shakes about the Rams offense since he's taken over. I think early on, it was mainly defense, Wade Phillips' defense, that carried the Rams to that first Super Bowl. And last year, look, no doubt Cooper Kupp deserves a lot of touches, but it just feels like they get drawn into, sucked into, get him the ball, and who knows what else we're going to do. So that's a problem. They're one-dimensional. Offensive line is a problem. And I think that overall for the Rams, what we've seen is through 4 games, they're 2-2. They got 2 wins over pretenders and 2 losses to contenders. They got waxed by the Bills on opening night. And last night, they got just pounded into submission by a team that's tougher and more aggressive than they are and have more ways to beat you. And they've beaten the Falcons and the Cardinals, 2 not very good teams. So to me, the Rams have an issue here. And they can't fix it unless they fix the offensive line. And they can't fix it unless they've got a secondary way to beat you besides Cooper Kupp. And tons of credit to the Niners. Because, dude, that 49ers defense can single-handedly beat you every week. And they haven't done so yet this year. They've had some rough offensive outings. But the 49ers, they get caught in that monsoon opening weekend against the Bears. And then last week, I mean, Jimmy G is just an absolute nightmare against the Broncos. They lose 11-10. So think about their 2 losses this season. They lose 19-10 in a rainstorm to open things up against the Bears, a total anomaly. And then lose 11-10 last Sunday night. It's a good Niners team. As long as they can create a few big plays with Debo, and last night they did, as long as Jimmy G doesn't puke, which last night he did not, the 49ers, as I talked about in the offseason, are one of the best teams in football. Now, I thought they could be a Super Bowl contender with Trey Lance and not with Jimmy G, and I still have my concerns that Garoppolo's ceiling is too low and that he just can't make the big throws necessary to win a Super Bowl when you have to have a few big throws. But that doesn't mean this isn't a really good team. It's a really good team. They're one of the best in the NFC. And let's face it, this is such a vulnerable NFC this year. The Packers have issues. The Buccaneers have issues. The Rams have issues. So the 49ers might, by default, by having just a wickedly great defense and Debo and a decent running game and a good play caller, be right there in the catbird seat for trying to win the NFC. But again, Look, that taking it to the house from Debo, it's a great play. He breaks tackles. I mean, the guy is just amazing. He really reminds me a lot of John Taylor after the catch. John Taylor was speedy, but he was strong. He had really good hands, and everybody paid attention to Jerry Rice in the 80s and 90s, and John Taylor would just take like a 12-yard slant and take it to the house. He was just so good at the open field. He was so strong. There's so much John Taylor and Debo Samuel, but that throw from Garoppolo is high. If that's off of Debo's fingertips or a little bit to one side, it could be a pick six the other way. I mean, that's the Garoppolo seesaw you're on. 49ers win 24-9. And coming up, they've got very winnable games. Panthers and Falcons straight ahead. 855-212-4CBS. On Twitter, DA on CBS. A moment on Albert Pujols. Albert Pujols has now hit another home run last night. 703. Okay? He now has 703 home runs. And remember, there was the big question midway through September, could he get to 700? Early September, could he get to 700? Could he get to 700? And not only has he gotten to 700, he is now at 703, and it feels like he's got a home run every other night. It's insane the type of run that he is on. It really is. It's insane the type of run that he is on. And down the stretch they come. This is the craziest stat to me of the Major League Baseball season. That Albert Pujols has hit as many home runs down the stretch as Aaron Judge has to lead Major League Baseball's home run chase at the end here. I mean, is that not totally crazy? They've both hit 17 home runs down the stretch. One guy's in his prime. One guy has hit 61 home runs. One guy's having the greatest single offensive season ever. And one guy is at the very tail end of his career in the final couple of games. And he's hitting as many home runs as Aaron Judge. Who the hell knows how this has happened, but what a historic September this has been, as they have both, and Judge has slowed down, and somehow Pujols hasn't. And I was thinking about how baseball wanted to clean itself up after the steroid era. Understandably so, there was so much negativity and so much skepticism around steroids and who was using and who wasn't, that the public demanded its pound of flesh. And so remember when baseball released the Mitchell Report, this was an investigation that it did into its own players, into its own trainers, into its own clubhouses. You were courting disaster because there was going to be names on there, stars on there, and baseball decided we needed to publicize the names. Again, public needed its pound of flesh. In doing so, baseball tried to clean up the game and reassert confidence in the sport. But by making it so thorough and by making the name so public, it dragged everybody through the mud. And today, there's such a skepticism about steroids that even a guy like Albert Pujols, who has never been connected to them, technically, down the stretch, what are people saying? Yeah, okay. This guy's 42 years old and hitting as many home runs as Aaron Judge. And so there's this, yeah, this is great, but, yeah, this is great, but. And baseball has the most stringent steroid testing, PED testing, out of any major sport, team sport anyway. And people still wonder, yeah, but, I mean, how's he doing it? And so it's almost like baseball couldn't have won back in 2001, 2003, 2005, when they really tried to clean up the sport, because that stench still hangs with us. Judge's 61 is clouded by Sosa, McGuire, and Bonds. What's the real record? What's not? People disagree, etc. And Pujols going for this record. People are whispering, obviously. And it just, It's interesting because it was almost a damned if you do, damned if you don't, because the genie was so far out of the bottle. Everybody knew that steroids were all over the place in baseball, so they kind of had to do something. But you think about football, who has had steroids in their culture for way longer than baseball. I mean, steroids in football go back to the 70s. And yet, when records are broken now, we don't constantly compare it or sigh or wonder, well, is this guy doing it cleanly? It's kind of crazy. Baseball has become a victim of its own cleanup because they let the crime get too far out of control. Anyway, we will see Albert Pujols in the postseason as the St. Louis Cardinals are heading to October as well, now that we're in October, so plenty more Pujols at bats to go.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
All right. Today is a Trash Tuesday. Watch the proceedings at watchda.com. That's mobile friendly. Also, you can watch it at Twitch. And watch the show as well on YouTube. Chat alongside other D-Aliens when you go ahead and watch on Twitch and YouTube. We start with Nick Saban as he gets questions from the media about his backup QB now that Bryce Young is day-to-day.
You want us to put a new one together now just because he might play or use the old one? I mean, we can do either one. I mean, I'll go talk to the offensive coaches and see.
About to use that more often then?
Again, you know, I don't talk to Jimbo on a regular basis, but I'll call him and tell him right after the conference if you want me to. I mean, you guys think I'm going to tell you what we're going to do with our offense and our team? You might as well make it up. I saw today where there's headlines in the paper that, you know, I'm going to keep it a secret what we're going to do with Bryce. It sounded like me making that statement. But I've never said that. But it was there in black and white. Like, so you can make up whatever you want to make up. You know, look at somebody else's running quarterback and say they should put these plays in. I think that'd be a better way to do it.
Bryce Young is dinged up. That means Jalen Milroe could end up playing against Texas A&M. It is Aggies week. And remember the offseason tete-a-tete between one Jimbo Fisher and one Nick Saban. So there's a lot of ego on the line. There's recruiting wins on the line. There is puffing out your chest on the line this week against the Aggies. It's too bad the Aggies stink so bad. My goodness. What a pathetic season already in College Station. This is the night kick on CBS this week at 8 p.m. Eastern time. And I mean, Bama's done its job going back to number one of the country. A&M is now 3-2 on the season. It's so pathetic to watch them once again slide through a year where they're not either taking games seriously, losing to App State, or being way overrated, losing last week to Mississippi State. You can tell I'm hot about this because, A, we keep getting told that A&M is ready to supplant Alabama as the power team of the SEC West and compete for an SEC championship, and it keeps not happening. And also, I believed in them this past week against Mississippi State, and they still spit the bit. And so the Wizard of Odds takes one on the chin. It's amazing. It really is amazing that Jimbo Fisher keeps getting extensions and money and applause and job security despite not really accomplishing anything since he won that national championship, which is now a long time ago. But a snippy Nick Saban is good. That is good. I enjoy that. Now, here is Clippers owner Steve Ballmer. There was a preseason game last night in Seattle. Now, of course, as we all know, Steve Ballmer made all of his money with Microsoft. Right? He's a Microsoft guy. Or Apple guy? Microsoft.
No, I thought he was the other Microsoft guy.
Right. Well, there's three of them. Right?
There's
Gates.
Yeah.
There's Ballmer and there's Wozniak.
Yes, he was right. The chief executive officer, which I think is the CEO of Microsoft from 2000 to 2014.
Chief executive officer indeed is CEO. That's what
I didn't
want
to say he was the CEO if he wasn't. I think that's what CEO stands for, but that's what he was.
No, you were right.
Executive or eggs? Is that what your confusion
I'm
was?
I'm just playing it safe. I read out the title.
So Ballmer made how many billions of dollars with Microsoft? Did it in Seattle. Going back to Seattle with a preseason game last night. Of course, the Sonics have now not been there for 15 years or so. And Ballmer's getting this Seattle crowd fired up for basketball.
I am so excited to have the game in my hometown of Seattle, Washington. I am so excited to see before he passed, the owner of the Blazers. Thanks to all the Blazers tonight. And last, but not least, I want to know whether you guys agree with me. I've watched thousands of basketball games in Seattle. CYO, little kids, AAU, pro, college, you name it. So if this is a basketball city, damn it, let's hear it!
That's a very fired up Steve Ballmer.
He's taking that nonsense to CYO games in Seattle, scaring kids.
So what would life-changing money be for you? Probably a couple $1 million, maybe even just $1 million, maybe $500,000.
I could tell you right now, $360,000, because that would complete paying off my mortgage.
Okay, so that'd be life-changing money. Those three dudes, he mentioned Paul Allen there. Paul Allen, these were the three guys at the top of Microsoft. And then I guess Wozniak was a little bit under them. He was more the technician, I think. Paul Allen, $20 billion. Steve Ballmer, $77 billion.
Come on.
Bill Gates, $101 billion. That's just from Microsoft. That's Microsoft money. Those three dudes have a combined $200 billion from Microsoft.
And I think the...
And nobody even uses Microsoft anymore.
And I think the Woz story is he got out too soon.
Right, you're right.
And left money on the table. He didn't realize what was coming. And yeah. Where they had a fight and they got rid of him. There's a story about how much he should have.
You're right.
That he doesn't.
You're right.
Wasn't Steve Wozniak Apple, though?
You're right. Wozniak was Apple. He got out from Steve Jobs early.
And then went to Apple. and cashed in?
I don't know. Waz is, Waz is only worth $100 million, only.
Okay, so yeah, so then it's Apple, not Microsoft.
Yes.
And it's, that's where he bounced too
yes,
soon.
Yes, okay. Yeah, yeah. Only $100 million.
Right? But I mean, it's not $77 bill. It is only $100 mil.
It's true. It's true. I mean, could you imagine, like, Paul Allen's the pauper. Now he's passed away, but, like, Paul Allen is only got $20 billion out of Microsoft.
I would definitely have an indoor pool, and then I would get so much less summer anxiety.
Would you live in Bayshore?
Yeah, I could. I would live in what was known as Brightwaters, which is like my snooty part of Bayshore. Yeah,
okay,
I love it over there. Yeah, I would
so
go.
So you'd still live in
yeah.
here. You wouldn't go back to Babylon and just buy like the biggest house in West Babylon.
No,
buy Babylon.
To be honest, Brightwaters has bigger houses where I am, but down by the water, like gorgeous mansions. I would go down to one of those.
Why wouldn't you just go like to Montauk or with Pete in the winter? Like just go further into Suffolk, like where the real money is.
Because I'd still want to be close enough to get to Ranger games and Yankee games and Giant games.
You could helicopter in.
No, you can't land on top of MSG.
No, you land on the west side.
Because I'd have season tickets to everything too.
So you wouldn't work here, you just buy season tickets to everything.
I'd think about buying this place.
Oh.
And we would be advised not to.
No. That's wrong. Our business at CBS Sports Radio is actually a very good business.
Yeah.
Now, correct. You could argue it's not run correctly, but it is actually
fair.
A very profitable business.
No, I'm a radio guy, so I actually think I'd buy it, and I'd invest in who I think are the proper bosses to run things around here.
Okay.
And I might turn it into a little bit of like The Apprentice. I might turn this place into a reality show as well.
Is that right?
Yeah. I'll make Pete fight for his job.
Okay.
I quit before you did that.
I'd make certain people around here not be able to do updates anymore. And I'd have an indoor pool.
Here?
Maybe. Yeah. And I'd have an omelet guy for the morning people that wake up here every morning.
That would be really cool. It's like owning a sports team. Every rich guy wants to own a sports team because he wants to put his fingerprints on it. It would be really cool to own a radio station or a radio network and put your fingerprints on it. Like there's an indoor pool at this radio station.
Yeah.
There's an omelet guy at the station.
There's a workout facility. There's a daycare. I could do a lot of things around here.
Then you're bankrupt and then you're in a month and then you're done.
Maybe, but when you have that much money, can you ever get bankrupt?
Yeah, you would because you're too nice. You would give money to everybody and Bayshore and Babylon would show up and then you got Foxy living large.
No.
Mike no longer upside down.
Right side up, Mike.
No. And I'd also do a company family picnic in my backyard every year.
Well, we kind of do that anyway at the Bob's Bar Show.
But like everybody. Perloff can come.
Okay.
I'll pay for Rome's private flight. Everybody come. Bring the family. I'll have pony rides. Well, a good time once a year.
From a Babylon backyard.
A little camaraderie.
Would you still fill in for Costos on Tuesday afternoons?
Probably would.
Becky will. Okay, just that.
Here is Elton John. He had a concert Sunday night and apparently was locked in to Braves Mets.
And something that makes me very happy tonight, the Braves swept the Mets.
Now, what's up with that? Something made me very happy tonight. The Braves swept the Mets. Why is Elton John going to hair up his ass for the Mets?
Well, so apparently, this concert was in Nashville, not Atlanta, by the way. So yeah. He wasn't trying to play to the crowd. Apparently, during the 90s, Elton John became a huge Braves fan and befriended Bobby Cox. And it's the one American sport he is passionate about. He loves Atlanta Braves baseball.
Now, that's a reality show. Bobby Cox and Elton John hanging
Seriously.
Out?
Seriously.
Apparently, wow. Elton John was always hanging around the Braves clubhouse during that run with Maddox, Glavine, and company.
Huge Steve Avery guy.
I did not know this, but this has been the story that's come out since.
Chatting with Danny Nagel.
But remember, over the summer, Elton John, when he played Dodger Stadium, was in full Dodger uniform. So now the question is, if you're a Braves fan, can you really play up and go full Dodger uniform?
No. A phony.
No, he's a phony. Total phony. He was into the Braves because they were winning all those years. And then as soon as they stopped winning, he became a Dodger fan.
Yeah. And also another note on Elton John, too. If you're that big a fan, you can't be playing. It's pennant race time. You got to pause the tour.
You can't be playing Nashville.
No, you can't be playing Nashville on the night of a big Sunday night game. And you got to tell everybody holding tickets, sorry, I'll be back in I don't know, November.
I believe he's done touring in New York, too, by the way. So he's very easy to say that statement.
Celebrities are such fugazi fans. They always just go with the wind.
I love Pete saying it's very easy to say this statement. What are you going to go throw eggs at Elton John? I mean, what are the Mets fans going to do to him?
That's what I'll do.
And finally, we'll go to a CBS Sports update, or is this on the local side, WFAN?
No, yeah, this was a CBS Sports Radio update during Carrington Harrison's show Saturday morning.
Okay, Saturday morning here on CBS Sports Radio, we will listen in on the update to an unnamed anchor.
Tulane won 27-24 on a walk-off 10-yard touchdown pass from third-string quarterback Kai Horton to Tyjon Spears in overtime. Emotional evening for Seattle baseball team as the Mariners clinched their first playoff postseason berth since 2001 on a Cal Raleigh walk-off shot in the bottom of the ninth to defeat the A's 2-1. One more piece of news is Ark Manning, nephew of NFL legends Eli and Peyton, broke his uncle's record for career passing yards and touchdowns in a season. I'm Jack Stern.
I thought it was going to be unnamed anchor there.
You unnamed. You didn't name him.
I'm Jack Stern.
Oh, no.
So Ark Manning was the tip-off that we got, that he said Ark Manning, not Arch Manning. No. But there were other things involved.
Oh, well, nobody's name is Ark.
No,
that's not
Arch
a thing. That's not, it's not like calling Damon David. It's not like calling Andrew, I don't know, something.
Mraz Raz.
It's nobody's named Ark.
Ark Manning.
Apparently he doesn't like first letters of nicknames and doesn't like last letters of first names.
Ark Manning.
Now, it also dates back to, remember, he keeps telling the drum of how big a college football fan he is. He's now gone Kirk Herbstreit, and the biggest recruit that all anybody's been talking about is Arch Manning. He calls him Ark Manning. How big a college football fan? What is you? What is you at all?
Ark Manning.
I have to bite my tongue here. I can't.
All right, so I'll let you bite your tongue. I also want to bring up this.
This is...
they're not the Washington football team. They're also not the Seattle baseball team. It's the Mariners.
Well, that's an M word, though. He hates M's.
So he doesn't say Mariners. He says, and he doesn't call them the Seattle baseball team. He says, Seattle baseball team clinched a playoff postseason berth. Pick one, playoff or postseason. Nobody's ever clinched a playoff postseason berth. They're both the same thing.
Well, I missed all of that.
Yeah. And then there's, if you go even further back, there's the Tulane touchdown. I'm sure it's a great story that Kai Horton did that, but his name is not Horton. It's also a game, Tulane-Houston's not a top 25 game. There have been other game-winning touchdown passes. That doesn't need to be in an update at all, and I don't think he said who they beat in overtime on the touchdown pass. So I gotta get back.
Kai Horton.
I gotta get back with Jack. We gotta go over a few things.
I'm
here.
Jack Stern.
We gotta the potential is there. We gotta smooth out some of the rough edges.
Kai Horton. To Ark Manning.
Oh, Ark Manning. No, no. He is royal. He's already football royalty.
Ark Manning.
You know
he has been talked about as a recruit for 5 years now. His commitment to Texas is the single biggest commitment in college football easily in 5 years, maybe 10 years, maybe since Peyton Manning or Eli Manning committed.
It's big enough that it elicited Freedom of Information requests to find out how much Texas paid for his visit. Do you remember that story from last week?
Yes. And the sire of all of this is Archie Manning.
Right, it's not Archie.
It's... The easiest way to know what his name is it's based on freaking Archie Manning, the most famous football dad arguably ever.
Let's go Archie Manning.
Former Saints quarterback Archie Manning.
He's got to be Archie forever.
Ark. Come on.
Playoff postseason berths. Kai Horton.
He can't. Also, he's reading this on the radio. He can't blame this on spell check.
I could believe Raz over Mraz. I could believe Kurt over Kirk Herbstreit. I can't at this point rationalize Ark Manning. That's not. It's not a name. It's not based on Archie. He's the
Ark Manning,
the biggest prep football star in decades. There's no defense of this. And I'm looking for defenses. Can we play the whole thing again? I got to hear all of the things that you just pointed out.
Yeah, and before we play it,
Horton and the Seattle.
Bogus said, why read that top 25? I do have to point out, this was Saturday morning. That was the Friday night ESPN game. So
okay,
I think
but still
he has
not, but still not top 25, right?
I just want to defend him. I think that that can be read Saturday morning.
Oh, okay.
All right, let's hear that whole
Tulane won 27-24 on a walk-off 10-yard touchdown pass from third-string quarterback Kai Horton to Tyjon Spears in overtime. Emotional evening for Seattle baseball team as the Mariners clinched their first playoff postseason berth since 2001 on a Cal Raleigh walk-off shot in the bottom of the ninth. To defeat the A's 2-1. One more piece of news is Ark Manning, nephew of NFL legends Eli and Peyton, broke his uncle's record for career passing yards and touchdowns in a season.
Which uncle?
I'm Jack Stern.
They're both his uncle, right? Because he's Cooper's kid. And he definitely didn't say that Tulane beat Houston. He gave the score, didn't say who they beat.
I'm Jack Stern.
So he gets Ark Manning wrong on his name and then has to tell everybody who he is. By the way, if you didn't know who Ark Manning was, he's the nephew.
Look, the fact is there's an issue going on with first names. I mean, Kurt, Raz, Ark, I guess Hortent, so all names maybe.
Mariners, Seattle baseball team.
If you don't use names, then you're fine.
Playoff, postseason, Raleigh.
I got to talk to him.
You got to get in his ear.
I got to.
You got to.
If I got to. And I can't mess up this next update.
Man needs tutelage.
Ark Manning.
Right. He needs to be wherever city you send people. What is that? Kenosha?
Grand Rapids.
Grand Rapids.
It should be noted.
Alcatraz?
It should be.
Alcatraz?
Kai Horton.
It's 106 the Beast Alcatraz.
Start a station there.
You're listening to 1660 The Breakout Alcatraz.
1 hour earlier, I heard Jack Stern do a local update on my way to the airport, and I texted him telling him he did a nice job. Now, had I been listening to CBS Sports Radio,
it's on you.
The text never gets
far. The blood is on your hands.
This is the one after.
It is. It basically is.
Is the what?
This update, timing-wise, ended up being the next update he did after I texted him that he did a good job.
Good job.
Crushed it. Well, I missed the Ark and Hortent part.
At the Alcatraz station, will there be an omelet guy?
Yeah, but you don't want to eat the omelets.
That's right. Who's making them?
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday, my favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
All right, and remember that the DA Show is always available in podcast form. Miss any part of the show? Want to hear it again? Simply search The DA Show on your favorite podcast platform. Subscribe, rate, and review. You can get the best of the show or the full 4 hours. Trash Tuesday is here. Mraz, who are we trashing?
I'm trashing the lack of consistency with rain. I am very grateful that I didn't have many summer washouts this week on weekends over the summer, but it also led to a drought. It led to a lot of burning grass, and it's not good for the environment. And now here we are in the fall, and it feels like it hasn't stopped raining for 2 weeks, at least where we are here in the Northeast. Scattered good days. We were up in Warwick, but every time I look outside now, it's rain, rain, rain. Maybe it's because the NFL London series is starting, and we're trying to fit in with that.
Yeah.
I want to start a motion and a petition. I think that we should be able, depending on where you are in the country, to cast votes. We select one day a week it's going to rain. Wednesday work for everybody? Good. We got nothing going on. Online votes, and that's the day it's allowed to rain. There's got to be a way to figure out and shift the environment to allow that. It's gotten nonsensical now. I mean, it's not dumping rain for days, but then you don't get any over the summer. Once a week, let's pick a day. We all agree it rains good. We move on with our lives.
Okay, trash the rain.
That's just offensive.
I'm going to defer to Bogus here because Bogus is kind of our resident weather guy. Bogus, do you think we'll live long enough to be able to manipulate the weather?
I do not, unfortunately. I did ask somebody about that one time, and a person that does weather for his life, and he basically laughed
weather
in my
caster?
Face. No, an airport meteorologist. So he has all the degrees, but he works at the airport doing the weather planning for the planes, not on TV. He's got a face for air traffic control, if I'm being honest. And that's just not a thing. Like, there's a movie, I think, where they, like, fly above a storm and drop little, like, crystal, like, balls in, and then they disperse and break up the clouds. Those things are not on the horizon, unfortunately.
So that was a scene in one of my favorite Bugs Bunny cartoons.
Really?
Yeah, they go up into the clouds, they break it up with like a pocket of air crystals. Now, those Bugs Bunny cartoons were made in like the 40s and 50s, so this was scientific technology, I'm sure, back then. But from a kid, I was like, oh, at some point in time, we'll be able to control the weather. And now I'm middle-aged, and I still don't see this happening. So you're telling me that it's not going to...
Not
on the horizon.
And there are guys and women whose job it is to fly, like, into these hurricanes, and they drop things in to get readings and figure things out, and they were showing video of flying over Ian's core last week. It's uncontrolled. Like, you couldn't feasibly under... Like, you couldn't come up with a way to stop that thing from happening. Like, shy of building a dome over all land structures...
Wow.
Not going to go
retractable roof on sunny days.
On America.
No rainouts in baseball if the whole country's got a dome.
A retractable roof over Asia. There you go. Over Antarctica. Right. Over all these places.
You want to dome the East Coast and the Gulf Coast to prevent from hurricanes?
And we keep the natural grass at Lambeau. DA would be real happy.
Yeah.
You know how long that would take?
Did you see how lush that grass was at Lambeau? Did you see how green that was?
Yeah. Well, it looked that way in December.
Yeah, but... They make it a priority, and that's why Odell is right in that you could play on grass if you wanted to play on grass every place, but owners want to save money instead of investing like at Lambeau. That grass was so lush and green and beautiful. I like now get like hot flashes over great grass.
Boy, I think you grass need some time off.
Which, can somebody explain to me why the Rogers Center in Toronto still hasn't done this? I mean, every other retractable roof in baseball has natural grass, right?
No, Texas last night, they have turf, the new
Texas
one.
Texas went turf?
Yeah.
Okay, but most of the retractables do.
And I think Arizona gave up on real grass, too.
No.
Yeah, everybody's going turf.
Really, in baseball?
Yeah, we're getting more turf in baseball.
Mariners, Brewers? No, those are grass.
No,
they might be grass, but I think he's right about Arizona. He's definitely right about Texas. And the Marlins is turf now, too, right?
Marlins went turf?
I'm fairly sure they are. I don't quote me on that.
That's pathetic. I mean, look, if you can grow grass in Milwaukee, you can grow grass anywhere.
Yes, you can. We're talking about actual grass, right?
Yeah.
The Diamondbacks and Rangers have artificial turf.
Oh,
it's a new fancy one, apparently.
Pathetic.
But they have it.
Pathetic.
At least it's not that carpet that they had in the 80s where it's like a just no give and concrete.
Yeah, that was just basically painted concrete.
Yeah, I'm always going to be team turf, but I'm so scared of fighting with DA about it that I don't.
I'm not in the mood to fight. I just don't understand why anybody wouldn't want natural grass. It's beautiful. It smells good. It gives you grass stains. It's softer. It's cushier.
I just feel like there's way more people that fall down on grass and slip and all that other stuff.
Versus blowing out your ACL on turf?
Again, the turf should be maintained better if you're going to do turf. That's my issue. The rubber pellets have to be changed out once a week and all of that stuff.
But you ever play on rubber pellets? I guess you do flag football rubber pellets.
I prefer playing on turf as opposed to grass.
See, I'm the opposite. Pete the Body Bilotti, who are you trashing?
I'm going to follow up on the rain thing. I'm trashing drivers in the rain. So either you have two mediums. You can't have a happy medium. You have two sides. You have one side that's totally wacko drivers who go all over the place and cause problems.
Talk to Mraz about this.
Yeah, you have that, and then you have the drivers that drive 5 miles an hour in every lane, and they're driving safe, but they're driving too slow and it would cause an accident.
Mm-hmm.
So I dealt with both of those things this morning as well. And enough of it. Figure out how to drive in the rain. If you're unsafe, if you don't feel like it's safe to drive in the rain, don't drive in the rain. That's my advice there.
Trash them.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
You know, on this point, Mraz had a very dicey situation coming into work today. A guy was tailgating you right in the middle. We had a huge rainstorm this morning coming into work.
Flashing his brights nonstop, and everybody's trying to take it easy, 55, 60. There's speed restrictions everywhere, wind, rain, and he cut over to the left lane, and then there was a guy going too slow for him, and it was too late, and he swerved in front of me, drilled over an exit sign, and drilled a tree. And I'm okay saying that on the air because at least at the time he was able to get out of his car bleeding, but he was alive.
You pulled over because you were so scared and shaken up to make sure the guy didn't die.
I mean, I couldn't believe what I had just seen. I mean, seeing somebody hit a tree was like, it was jarring.
Yeah.
And several of us pulled over. I called 911. Emergencies were on their way, and It was horrifying.
How about that for a mirage morning? 3:30 in the morning, getting tailgated in the middle of a rainstorm, watching a guy wrap his car around the tree, getting out of the car, calling 911.
And remember, it was last summer I had my car flooded out when I hit that pothole and went down. I'm done with the rain drives. I can't do it anymore. I'm going to, when it rains, my wife drives. That's the end of it. I'm not doing it no more.
We had the big storm over here a few weeks ago that was flooding the whole, all the parkways around here.
Yeah.
Right. The buses were turned the other way.
Right. You had dicey day, too. Through.
I can't do the rain drives anymore. I'm becoming an old man.
Well, we're going to have snow drives here soon.
Oh.
AB, who are you trashing?
Mine is indirectly rain-related as well.
Wow.
Now, who did Sean take a shot at last week? Volunteer fire?
Yeah, okay. They're only in it for the friends.
Right. I'm going to, with a lot more respect, take a shot at the garbage crew that goes up and down my block on Saturday mornings. This past Saturday, it was raining again here in New York, and they come by rolling at like 7 a.m. I hear them go past, feel bad for them. They're out there in the rain doing this. About 2 hours later, I get in my car to drive down to Delaware to do a Delaware Towson football game, and I go, I don't see my garbage can. There's the lid that I left on top so my can didn't get rained in all night long. I see the lid. I don't see the can. I look around. Every once in a while, it's, you know, they don't put it back standing up, so it's on its side. It'll roll a little bit, get blown down the block, but I don't see it anywhere. So I'm driving, I get in the car, I leave, I text my wife, I think our garbage can's gone. Can you see where it might have went at some point? Because the rain had stopped by this point. She gets on our doorbell cam, and she sees the garbage man dump the can in the back of the truck. He puts the can down in the street where the rain had created this river running down to the drain, the street drain. And he watches my garbage can sail down the block.
No way.
And just disappears. Now, the strength of the rain and this water, my garbage can had went down about 150 feet to the end of my block, made a right-hand turn, and went down a half block to where the drain was, and that's where my wife found it. But this guy put it down, watched it take off, and went the other way to get back with the truck and leave it. So get that guy out. Almost cost me a garbage can.
Wow.
It's the landfill overnights in El Paso.
He had no interest in saving your garbage.
Not even a little bit. And it's not Whitewater Rapids here. He could have taken 3 seconds to just go grab it and put it back up on the sidewalk, not in the street. We'd have been fine.
He's not wrong. Garbage men are a little lazy, too.
You think they're up at all hours of the night? They're picking up your garbage. They're throwing it in the back of a garbage truck. They're hanging on to that side. I think they do a lot of work.
I know they're lazy based on the fact that that was my father-in-law's job for 30 years.
Well, that's not a great.
And I can tell you, I'm sure he lost plenty of cans.
I don't know if lazy is the right word.
No, that's the representation I have of garbage men, I could tell you. If that's the representation.
Lazy is not the right word.
Right.
My dad did it for 25 years.
But they're easily influenced. My neighbor across the street, I think, gives them gold bricks at Christmas because I've mentioned this before. His garbage cans, his recycling bins go back up his driveway. They stack the recycling bins in a pile, push them close to his house. Everybody else's, they just fling things back up your driveway.
Are you learning your lesson or what?
I thought I was being very, very generous.
You gotta give them a little something over on Christmas here.
I thought I gave more than a taste. Apparently I didn't.
Well, how do people tip the garbage men though? They show up at 5:36 in the morning.
I wait by the door. That I know the Saturday before Christmas, they roll by and they even honk their horn to let you know they're there.
Oh,
and
I'm that's
up,
rude.
And I go
that's
out ridiculous. And I give them an envelope with money in it.
Wouldn't give them anything.
They honk their horn for tips?
My dad leaves them a bottle of rum.
See, mine only come on Tuesdays and Thursdays. It's impossible to tip them.
Hey, you got to give them a taste. If you don't give them a taste, they're not going to take care of you.
Gary the mailman gets the taste. The garbage men keep dumping the trash. What are you going to do, stop?
Maybe.
And by the way, they have some nerve asking for a tip. They have a machine that hooks into everybody's cans. We're not allowed to have separate cans and dump it. They don't even get out of the truck. They want a tip. Scratch.
And by your house, there's a lot of trash.
I also love the blue collar Sean saying, what are you going to do? Stop picking up my trash?
Oh.
Tip yourself.
So your father-in-law, the one that smokes weed. Tommy Heaters en route to Yankee Stadium, hits on 20-year-old parking attendants.
She's 28. He's 60.
This guy,
did you get her birth certificate?
Dude with four teeth. He's the guy that used to be garbage man?
Big time in sanitation. His dad ran a sanitation company his whole life.
Oh.
Yeah.
His dad ran a sanitation company.
And then they sell it out.
So Tommy Heaters didn't have to work.
No, he worked, and he always talks about all the trash he used to bring home and toys for the kids from the garbage. Danielle, used to get some good stuff.
Danielle used to get toys from the garbage?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know exactly what, but he always used to talk about, like, the treasures he would find. Like, he would pick through everybody's trash. And now he's a DoorDash driver that picks through French fries on the way to order.
Poor Danielle. Your parents are still taking Christmas lists, and she was getting thrown away toys.
No, she got plenty of nice stuff, too. They made nice money, and she got nice stuff.
Danielle,
fun.
I got you a Rainbow Bright. It's out of the box, no. But I'll tell you, it's in real good condition.
You just clean it. It's good to go, hon.
He used to say you'd be surprised what people throw away. But, yeah, I mean, come on. You want a tip? I've seen him work. No way.
Time to go get some gravy. For next
year. I'm trashing iPhone storage. I can't get a handle on this. I think we've trashed this before, but every day I get the, you can't take that photo, or you can't download that podcast, or you need to free up storage. So almost every day I'm in my storage, deleting podcasts, deleting videos, deleting pictures, deleting apps. And then, like, within the same day, somehow the apps expand. I had to offload my Instagram app. Have you guys had to do this? Because it stores.
The Instagram app is ridiculous.
TikTok, I couldn't even have on my phone anymore because it collects so much information that it was huge. It was enormous. So I've had to delete this, that, and the other thing. It's like, the apps are too big. The files are too big. The iPhone's just doing something in the airspace. And I don't even know what it's collecting. And it's just, it's so annoying. Get them out.
We're eroding.
But it's a money grab because all they want you to do is continue to up and pay for more storage.
That's right.
They have the ability to give you the storage.
I got this from Google, too. You've taken up too much space out of your Gmail account. I'm like, I thought we could always have as many emails as I wanted. And now I got to delete emails to free up space in my Gmail?
They want you to pay for space.
And that's what it says.
But you're talking about something different. You're talking about the space on your phone, not cloud storage.
So, no, but you could pay for cloud storage.
Right, but that's not going to help your Instagram app on your phone. The next phone you get, you need more gigs on your phone for space.
And that's the thing. They want you to up and buy the next phone with more storage.
It's absolutely right. There's just one big racket out there. Now I sound like my dad, mismanaged. Mariana is trashing degenerate neighbors who let their rat dogs bleep in the grass around the playground and don't pick it up. Hashtag beat beat.
That deserves a trash can emoji.
Incognito Man is trashing the Brewers, who went from first in the National League Central to not even in the wild card in less than 2 months after trading Josh Hader away. Trash him.
Luke, it's the trash compactor.
This is an interesting DA show handle. Icky Undies. DA, I'm trashing myself. I was online shopping for a jersey when I came across an auction website. Got caught up in bidding on anything that looked cool. Figured I'd get outbid on most of it. I was really enjoying myself until they sent me a bill for over $2,000.
Overflowing landfill.
Hey. Steven in South Carolina is trashing his neighbor. You know, the one that goes all out on Halloween and Christmas makes what I do look pointless. Makes my wife want to spend more money on decorations. Get them out.
Oh, break out the hazmat suit.
Moist Pork asks, in no world is it okay to blow your schnoz, then look at the tissues. Are you not sure you got enough out? How socially off are you to not realize how gross this is? Hashtag disgusting stuff.
Illegal dumping.
I would fist fight Moist Pork over that tape. Fist fight him. Fist fight him. That is so wrong. I look at every tissue I have. And it's not to say I want to check out my snot and see how cute it is. You want to make sure there's no blood going on or anything funky.
Right,
anytime I blow my nose, you want to make sure if there's like a little blood remnants, I could be on the verge of a bloody nose, especially during dry times. You look to make sure everything's there, and you close up the tissue, you move on.
Blood.
You're actually a weirdo if you don't look at the tissue.
And you'd fist fight over this.
Because you're going to call people out on making sure their body's okay? That's shaming.
And we know how particular you are to make sure your right? body's always
this
okay.
This is the one health check you do.
No, I do. Anytime I use a tissue or toilet paper, I give a little glance, make sure everything's looking all right. That's it. And you should be doing that. It's like your own checkup.
And not to get too gross, but what if you looked at your toilet paper and something didn't look right?
If there's like little bloody remnants, then I get some preparation H, and if that doesn't work, then I go see a doctor.
does this happen?
I do blood checks. I call them blood tests in my house. If I have bloody stool or bloody snot, I got to check it out.
Everything else, though, is willy-nilly.
That's right.
It's just standard practice.
Get the arteries.
Yeah, sodium, calories, cholesterol.
I'm just saying,
rain.
If you guys have never had bloody noses or remnants of it, then fine. But you really should be checking your tissues when you sneeze into
blood.
So, I mean, I don't open the tissue and look, but, like, a tissue is kind of transparent. Like, if I blow my nose and there's, like, there's blood in it, I can see it right away. I don't need to inspect the tissue.
No. Look, there's signs. There's warning signs. If you keep checking the tissue, you get used to it.
Warning signs. You've ignored every other one of those. Remember that time?
So I'm supposed to do no checks because I ignore other ones?
Remember that time that you had heartburn and so you ordered Chinese food?
I thought I was hungry. I didn't know the difference between agita or whatever
heart attack.
That is. Yeah.
And remember the time that you were thought you were having a heart attack, so you ate a Pop-Tart?
His emergency Pop-Tart.
Was that the health check?
Yes, it was. I thought I was hungry, so I grabbed the Pop-Tarts to stop my hunger, but it turned out. What do you call that? It's not agita. It's not Ali-Ali oxen-free. What is it? The thing when you eat. Indigestion. Indigestion. That was it.
All those health checks.
I like that. We've gotten to the point where nobody helps him. We just let him talk it through and give us
it out.
Four different possibilities. Ali Ali oxen free. Sounds medical.
Just keep workshopping it. You'll get there.
What happened here?
More trash is coming up, but Bogues has our headlines.
And these ones sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance gives you protection on the phone, online, or on the app 24/7 because things happen 24/7.
Sure do.
Quotes at progressive.com. Only big scoring plays for the Niners last night. Deebo Samuel's 57-yard catch and run, a 52-yard pick six, and this.
Jimmy checking the play at the line of scrimmage here. Lone back Jeff Wilson Jr. Hittle comes forward, toss sweep to Wilson. Cut back, run, 20, 10, 5, touchdown! San Francisco!
Greg Papa, Niners Radio. That, the first of the three TDs. The pick six of Matthew Stafford capped off a 24-9 decision over the Rams. The Niner D sacked Stafford seven times while Jimmy G avoided major mistakes. Both these teams are now 2-2. Maybe you felt bad when we told you yesterday that Wisconsin fired football coach Paul Christ. Don't worry about him. Christ is getting an $11 million buyout.
Nice.
That being said, there was $20 million left on his contract, so he negotiated down and gave back $9 million as he leaves Madison. We have already mentioned home number 703 for Albert Pujols. Aaron Judge, meanwhile, still on 61, just a single in four ABs in last night's 3-1 Yankee win in Texas. The Blue Jays clinched the top wild card spot with a 5-1 win in Baltimore. The Mariners losing in Detroit, or to Detroit, 4-3, but they keep a game and a half edge on Tampa Bay for the second wild card because the Rays lost their fourth in a row, 4-3 at Fenway. And now, why don't we get started?
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
This one feels perfect for a Trash Tuesday because I wish this was something that the body could trash. Trains in Surrey, England were delayed for about an hour yesterday morning because a swan had wandered onto the tracks.
Wow.
And it took that long for rescue crews to show up and catch the large bird. Now, Southwestern Railway tried to have fun with the story, posting a picture of the swan in some kind of harness as it was being removed. They made movie references about a swan on the tracks. But as you'd expect, most commuters did not think it was funny being late for work. And I can only imagine the things Pete would wish on a bird if it delayed his LIR train for an hour.
I was just talking to a guy over the weekend, and he lives near a pond that has swans. No, geese. No, swans? I forget. One of the two. And I said, you really got to drive slow around there. He goes, yeah, definitely. You don't want to hit one of those. I go, well, if you hit one of those, you have to bring that swan or that goose, I guess a swan, to the house because those are owned by people, right? Those are not like in the wild. I mean, maybe this swan's different, but like swans don't live around us naturally. Like, those, I think, have to be there from an owner.
You're saying they're pets?
I guess, in some ways, I don't think we have natural swans, do we?
I mean, if I hit a swan, I keep trucking. I ain't going to nobody's front door.
How do you know whose house the swan belongs to?
Because it would be in a pond outside somebody's house. That's what he was saying. That it's like an in-ground pond that they built in front of their house.
Hmm.
So, like, if you built the pond or you had a pond in front of your house and those swans are in the pond, you hit a swan, it's not like hitting, like, a raccoon. You got to go, it's like hitting a dog.
You should then keep them inside a fence, then. That
Agreed.
Shouldn't be on other drivers.
Security there.
Yeah, otherwise you're getting a swan.
Okay, but what... But what if you hit a dog? You got to bring the dog to the house.
Well, yeah. With all due respect, don't dare compare a swan to a cat or a dog.
It's a pet.
It's not a pet. It's a theatric bird that's there for show. You're not sitting there. It's not eating its kibbles and bits next to you while you have your pasta.
Okay, but you don't keep dogs in fences. So
yeah, I do. When I open my yard, nobody can hit
but
them.
Not everybody. Like, if you hit a dog, you wouldn't be like, that should have been in a fence. I'm trucking. You would be like, oh, my God, I hit a dog. I got to ask the neighbors whose dog this is.
Okay, you show me the next time somebody's walking a swan with a leash around your neighborhood, and then I'll treat it the same.
So it has to be on a leash?
Do you think a swan would cuddle up with me and watch Rams Niners last night? It's not a pet.
Well, a cockatoo wouldn't either, but if you kill a cockatoo, you got to go tell the owner.
What are we, skeet shooting? How are you killing a cockatoo? This is a reach. I'm sorry.
Is the swan big enough, Sean, for you to be afraid of it carrying you away?
Yeah, okay. A couple of them.
up and away. There goes Perez.
What's going on here? Ooh. Whose pets are these? I just wanted to watch Rams Niners.
My dog wouldn't do this.
Yeah, I can see the high school from here. Hey, there's no line at Wendy's. Guys, could you put me down?
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
What else could it be but Ark Manning?
Tulane won 27-24 on a walk-off 10-yard touchdown pass from third-string quarterback Kai Horton to Tyjon Spears in overtime. Emotional evening for Seattle baseball team as the Mariners clinch their first playoff postseason berth since 2001 on a Cal Raleigh walk-off shot in the bottom of the ninth to defeat the A's 2-1. One more piece of news is Ark Manning, nephew of NFL legends Eli and Peyton, broke his uncle's record for career passing yards and touchdowns in a season. I'm Jack Stern.
There's the Tulane touchdown. I'm sure it's a great story that Kai Horton did that, but his name is not Horton. I got to get back with Jack. We gotta go over a few things.
I'm Jack Stern.
The potential is there. We got to smooth out some of the rough edges.
On the ever-emerging CBS Sports Radio Network.
Kai Horton. To Ark Manning.
Oh, Ark Manning, no. He is... He's already football royalty.
Ark Manning.
You know,
he has been talked about as a recruit for 5 years now.
Ark Manning.
Biggest commitment in college football, easily in 5 years, maybe 10 years, maybe since Peyton Manning or Eli Manning committed.
It's big enough that it elicited Freedom of Information requests to find out how much Texas paid for his visit. You remember that story from last week?
Yes. And the sire of all of this is... Archie Manning.
Right, it's not Archie.
Ark Manning.
It's the easiest way to know what his name is. It's based on freaking Archie Manning.
Ark Manning.
The most famous football dad arguably ever.
Let's go Archie Manning.
Former Saints quarterback Archie Manning.
He's got to be Archie forever.
Ark. Come on.
Playoff Ark Manning.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Also, talk about lack of common sense. If I asked you, what do you think Arch is short for? You would say Archie, Archibald. If I said, what do you think Ark is short for? You wouldn't have an answer because that's not a name.
In a world, by the way, where everything seemingly is a name.
Advanced Analytics Today, Elton John claims that he is a Braves fan. A quick pivot there. How many Braves games a year do you think Elton John watches? 59% of you say none. 30% said 1 to 50. 5% said 50 to 100. And 5% said 100 or more. I'd love to know the people that think Elton John watches more than 100 Braves games.
He's got the MLB TV on the phone.
He's on Turner South.
Huge Chip Carey fan. Advanced analytics tells us that Elton John has never played at Citi Field, but did play at Shea Stadium in 92. One list ranked the 1979 album Victim of Love as Elton John's worst album. It features a disco cover of Johnny B. Goode. Really? And the last leg of Elton John's U.S. tour comes this November at Dodger Stadium. And that'll do it for us. We hit the post on the DA Show. This is a hell of a show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Melotti on the Wheels of Steel and audio director. Thanks to EJ Stewart on your simulcast today at watchda.com. And thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. We are back at it tomorrow.
Kai Horton.
Be good and be good to one another. I'm DA. We'll see you tomorrow. The Mothership disconnects.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.